Hey, everybody, we're back. It's the second episode of your new favorite tech podcast, Noise Canceling. If you're looking for a bunch of nerds sitting around a table dryly discussing this week's top tech facts, that ain't us. So sit back and let's take you through what's been going on in the world of Laptop Mag, Tech Radar, Tom's Guide, and more. But before that, let's meet the team. I'm Sherielle Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
And I'm Rami Tabari, staff writer for Laptop Mag.
And Gareth Beavis, editor of Tech Radar, would be here, but he is off doing something wonderfully British, and he will be back next week. So without further ado, let's get into noise canceling. So let's start off with news. First things first, Apple Spring event has been pushed back. Any guesses as to why, Rami?
I mean, do I really need to say it?
I mean, it's a podcast, so kind of, sort of.
Yeah, it's coronavirus, most likely.
Yeah, this is the latest in a slew of shows to be pushed back or canceled outright due to coronavirus. But Apple's event is being pushed back instead of outright canceled, which gives us a sense of hope, which means that we will be talking about our new Apple gear sooner than later, because Laptop Mag is just rife with iPad 2020 rumors. We just wrote up a fresh batch today, and now we're looking at iOS 14 rumors and MacBook rumors. Do you want to touch on any of those, Rami?
Not really, if I'm being completely honest.
Well, I'm asking you to, as your boss and as your host right now, so.
Yeah, there are a ton of MacBook rumors. I just read a headline this morning that Apple is probably going to move the touch bar to the space bar and or the touchpad, and that's not very exciting whatsoever.
I love a dual display. More is always better. More is more.
I mean, do you really want to rub up on a space bar or trackpad that's, you know, a display and not a space bar or touchpad?
I mean, I wouldn't want it in the space bar, but if they do it like Asus does for ScreenPad Plus or the ZenBook Pro Duo, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
I mean, I already hate their trackpad for what it is. So
hater.
Listen, if they do put a touch bar in the touchpad, it's not going to change how I feel. I'll probably hate it just as much as I hate the Force Touch now.
You're just a gloomy soul. You need to lighten up a little bit.
I'm bitter.
So. Well, speaking of bitter, I am a little bitter about E3. Right now, rumors are, well, they're starting to be more than rumors. It's looking like E3 is going to be canceled, and I am not happy about it. It's one of my favorite gaming shows of the year. I've been attending for, well, I'm not going to say how long I've been attending. You never ask a woman her age. But for a while is what I will say. And I was looking forward to taking you with me this year. So, like, I feel like you've kind of cursed the whole thing. It's you.
Wow. All right. First of all, I am also very upset that E3 is most likely getting canceled, because it was going to be my first E3. And the saddest part about it is that now that E3 is getting canceled, and, like, honestly, the only real physical presence there out of, like, the three big, you know, console companies is Xbox. And so with this now potentially going all online, the future of E3 in a physical state is, grim.
Well, E3 was it was going downhill, in my opinion, for a while now, especially as they started opening it up to more fans, which I love walking around with the fans. But, like, it is an industry event. It's there so we can report and tell you what to buy, what to avoid, what to get excited about. I mean, personally, I would always feel a little sad watching people have to stand in line for hours on end just to play one game. That's not what E3 is about. It really isn't. Like, that's what PAX is for. That's what Gamescom is for. That's not what E3 is about. So hopefully they can take this year off and reevaluate and try to figure out what they want to do next, because a lot of people dropped out this year. And not because of coronavirus. They just, something's going on behind the scenes that a lot of people aren't agreeing with. And I hope that they take some time to take some stock and to reevaluate.
Yeah. I mean, it's also most definitely cheaper just to do a live stream. So it might be the better alternative.
Do you think this is the end of tech conventions as we know them?
Oh, I hope so. I mean, in E3's case, I hope not. I want to go at some point. I would like to go to my first E3, but the rest of the tech conventions can die for as far as I'm concerned.
But how will we see things?
That's fine. They can just visit the office.
Oh, where's your sense of adventure?
I have none.
Boo. Well, back to Apple again. Apparently, Apple has a pair of new headphones coming out. They always have, like, so that's not the AirPods 3, which have been leaking and announced, and Tom Scott is speculating on pricing and all these other things. So first that, no specs, because why not? Why ruin a good rumor story with facts? But they are saying that this time around we might get some colors, which would be amazing, because I am tired of looking at those white buds. They were fine the first three times, but now it's time to add a splash of color, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's the problem with most of Apple's products. Like, there's like that one color that comes out. Like, there was the green on the iPhone, and then there was the gold on the MacBook or the MacBook Air. And those are nice, but like, you only have like one like nice looking color out of all your products.
I actually prefer that green black. I like the way it's a polarizing color. Yes, yes. But I like the way that the color changes depending on the angle that you look at it.
Yeah, it looks nice. I just want more. I want more colors. I want on all of their products, honestly, because the space gray and the silver is getting boring.
Apple is also working supposedly on a pair of over-ear or headphones called the Apple AirPods X. And people are hyping them up as the new Sony killers, maybe Bose killers. I doubt that very seriously, because Bose, as far as it comes to active noise canceling, they are the kings. So it's going to be hard to depose that reigning title. What are your thoughts?
So I'm not going to pretend to be an audio expert, because I'm not. But I'm curious, what do you, if these new over-ear phones were going to succeed, what would Apple need to bring to it?
Apple needs to bring a better soundstage than it has with its other headphones. They need to go more Beats, less AirPods.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do go that more Beats range, they need to be very, very conservative on the low end, because Beats, they're for bass junkies like me that need to hear the boom bap, boom, 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 like just in my head, in my heart. I just like live it, breathe it, love it. But I would want something that can go from hip hop to country to classical to polka, if that's your thing, and back without too much variance. Like, it's going to sound clean. It's going to sound nice. It's going to sound warm and full and all those great things that give you a rush when you hear your music like you're in a recording studio. I don't need it to be audiophile, because then that jacks up the price considerably, but I do need them to sound better than Beats.
And what do you think they're going to, what price point do you think they're going to hit?
I think they're going to go for, I hope they're going to stay at $300. Like, anything higher than $300, I'd prefer them to be $250. If they can get it down to $200, that would be great. I doubt that, because the AirPods Pro are $250. So I can't imagine them not charging at least $300. I hope they can keep it there, because once you start going into the $350, $400 range, you start going into that audiophile range, and that's not affordable for everyone. And like, yes, it's Apple, and they can kind of write their own checks, but I'm hoping that they will be a little more considerate of the average person's wallet.
I'm not going to. I mean, I highly doubt that they're actually going to do that. I suspect it to definitely be over $400, only because Apple got a nice big Apple logo on that. So
we shall see. Dear Apple, do not price gouge us. Just let us have nice headphones. Love me. And now let's talk about a few reviews. So let's start off with Call of Duty Warzone. Have you played it yet?
I have not. I know I plan on playing it soon, though. I am very excited for it, because it's like the first time Call of Duty is pushing like the free service. I know they did it on mobile and it worked out for them, and now they're doing it with the Battle Royale.
So, like, Warzone is Call of Duty's first Battle Royale, because I want to make sure that our listeners understand what it is.
No, it's not their first Battle Royale, because technically the Call of Duty, I think it was Black Ops 4, did the whole Battle Royale thing, but their Warzone is, like, I think it's two game modes. It's Battle Royale, and it's something with money, like robbing, taking money, and, like...
So Call of Duty meets Payday?
Kind of. I think it's more of, like, shoot these people before they get to the objective kind of thing with bags of money. That's what it looked like in the trailer.
Okay.
But
all right.
There are two game modes. Those are the two game modes that they showed off in the trailer, so...
Well, we currently have someone working on our review, so I am excited to read that and maybe play. COD has never really been my thing. Like, as you get older, your Twitch reflexes start to go, so my kill ratio is often laughably low. And it never feels good to be headshotted by a 12-year-old.
It's because you're playing on a controller.
First of all, mind your business. Second of all, it depends. Like, now that my office is set up, I am playing with a mouse and a keyboard. Like, you should play. So hush your mouth. You don't know my life.
Yeah, I do. I play Divinity with you.
You know what? Again, you're a hater. And I, like... I don't know if I'm going to have you back. You're just such a hater. And speaking of things that you could probably hate on, so the reviews of the Samsung Galaxy S20 are out, and they're pretty positive so far. It's a smaller version of the Ultra, a less expensive version of the Ultra. So people are saying that it's the best. TechRadar, for instance, is saying it's the best option out of Samsung's three new phones. It's lighter, and it doesn't have that mega camera that people are raving about that and are paying over $1,000 for. What are your thoughts on the new spat of Galaxy phones, and would you buy one?
I don't know. I like... From what I've seen of the new Galaxy phones, like, they have the specs, but I still think Pixel has the better software.
Ooh.
In terms of
spicy takes,
you know, camera. But, like, it just looks better, and they have the night sight, and it looks so good, and they keep updating it. And even though Pixel 4 was, like, kind of a small update to the phone, I think the Pixel 5 is going to really hit home with it. Like, they're going to be like, oh, now we can do all this more crazy stuff with the camera that... Our competitors can't, but the issue with the Pixels is that, I know I'm moving away from Samsung a little bit.
You know, tell me about it. What you got?
The issue with the Pixels is that they still don't have the other specs in line.
Like, are you talking about battery life?
Talking about battery life, performance. Yeah, I'm talking about every little thing that isn't the camera. So
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I mean, but it has stock Android. That's always great. And it's always up for updates first.
Yeah, no, the Pixel definitely has advantages, and I love its camera. I'm using a Pixel right now for its camera alone, but...
A camera does not a phone make, Rami.
For me, it does. I just need more battery life.
What are you even taking pictures of that you need? Like, what? Like, why do you need such a good camera?
My beautiful puppy at home that I take pictures of.
Okay, touche. Touche. Yuki is fluffy and adorable, so I will allow that. Okay, fine. You got me. Something that I'm currently reviewing and very excited about is Ori and the Will of the Wisps. This is the long-awaited title for me. Like, I've been waiting for this for 2-3 years from Moon Studios and Microsoft Studios. It is the sequel to Ori and the Blind Forest, and it is one of the prettiest Metroidvanias that I have played ever. It's definitely in my top 5 right now. But with all that beauty, there are some flaws. I would highly recommend that you play it on PC, playing it on Xbox via Xbox Play Anywhere. I noticed that there are significant slowdowns on the Xbox version. Even though they are patching it as we speak, it's just not as good an experience.
That's kind of wild. Like, I don't expect a game like that to be that taxing, especially for the Xbox.
I don't get it because, I'm playing on my PC. It's smooth. And, like, since I was playing a review copy of the game, there were a few little graphical things, but those have smoothed out on the PC side, not so much on the Xbox side, which is... I don't get it. I don't get it, and I don't like it. But the things I do like, it's a new combat system. There are actual characters that you can interact with, and it's still telling that same deep, gripping story without words per se. And it's about family, and it's about sacrifice, and like there are all these beautiful areas to explore. Things I hate. As a Metroidvania, yes, I get it. You have to start with nothing. But since this is a sequel and since I played the first one, I was hoping that there would be some carryover with some of the abilities. And there was none. Like, I thought I would at least have a double jump. Nope, had to go find that double jump.
Oh, my God. That is the most frustrating thing I can imagine.
But it's so addicting. I was up until 5 o'clock playing today, and my boyfriend came out and gave me the look like, are you going to go to sleep? Are you going to take a nap? What are you planning to do here? I'm like, I guess I'm going to come to bed. I guess I'm going to do that. So I'm here off of about 2.5 hours of sleep. Whee!
I believe that. When am I going to see that review?
Today, Dad. But yeah, I do recommend it, and you don't need to play the first one to get into this, but it would help. I think you would get a greater appreciation for what Moon Studios has done and why it took so long to get it out. But on its own, it's a highly compelling Metroidvania. You will die a lot. And there's a hard mode, so you can get into this, Rami.
Ooh. I'm excited for this.
Why are you such a masochist? Why do you do this?
Because it's the only way I can enjoy video games.
Why? Why do you need crushing difficulty to feel?
Because otherwise it's just too easy.
So things that aren't too easy. Tell me about the Vive Cosmos.
A little late to the party reviewing that, but since the Vive Cosmos Elite is coming out, we figured it was, you know, it's high time to actually pump that review out. So the Vive Cosmos is $700, which is $300 more than the Oculus Rift S. I'm just going to lead with that. And somehow it's worse in like a lot of ways. Specifically, the tracking is awful. I am in the origin, like the hub of the system, and I'm trying to move the controllers and it's not, it's like so jumpy and fidgety. And it's like, why? I'm not even doing anything taxing at all. I'm just like in the hub of this world and it's like I can't move properly. And another issue with that, the headset, is that it's just like expensive. For it to not be able to track well at all and for HTC to charge like $700, that's pretty concerning.
I mean, HTC is typically going after the enterprise user with its headsets, which is why they can get away with charging that amount of money. And the thing about it is, like, they did promise that there would be upgrades, and that's what the Elite is. It basically is a faceplate that you take the Cosmos, and you take the original faceplate off, and the Elite basically gives you even more sensors to work with, so for a better tracking experience. But I would like to try yours out because I haven't experienced those problems with the Cosmos, so I'm wondering if it's just something on your end.
So I was thinking that, but I've read multiple reviews and they've experienced the same issues that I'm having. So
oh my,
yeah,
that's unfortunate.
It is concerning.
Well, I'm hoping that my review of the Elite will be better. And I mean, you know, back to the lab for Vive again. But then again, Vive has about 6 iterations of different headsets, so there's something for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, their new Elite headset comes with, like, a new faceplate and comes with the two base stations that will help tracking, and that's great. I'm sure the tracking will be better. But you can also go with the Oculus Rift S, which is $400 and has great tracking. I've never had an issue with that headset's tracking, like, whatsoever. So,
what are you playing on Vive or Oculus right now?
Vive, I was playing Wildlands 2, I think it's called. And it was like this, oh my God, this was a horrible experience for me because the game is great. And you have this, like, you grapple hook around the world, and it's like kind of open world, kind of not. And you use this bow and arrow to shoot your enemies. It's like a roguelike. But the issue is, I was playing this game sitting down, and for some reason, the Cosmos was not having that whatsoever. And so every time I would try to draw, like, fire my arrows or grapple hook in a certain, like, way, it was like, yep, I don't know what you're doing, but I can't see it. Nope, not doing it. Nope. Oh, you fell to your death? That's too bad.
Well, you know, since you are such a dour soul, I think it's time to go into one of my favorite segments of the show, Unpopular Opinions. So, Unpopular Opinions, let that hate unfurl. Unpopular Opinions, where hot takes do rule. Unpopular Opinions. So, why doesn't Sony get more credit for its headphones? So this is a Tech Radar story. Basically, Sony makes great headphones. They make great in-ears. They make great over-ears. They have a new pair of in-ears coming out, totally wireless. And yet, it's still, we're always talking about Bose, and we're always talking about Apple, and Sony gets no love. Why Sony get no love, Rami? Why Sony get no love?
I mean, does it not get any love? Because I feel like if you're thinking about good headphones, like, I'm not that deep into the audio world, but if you're thinking about good headphones, the first thing that comes to mind to me is Sony. So, I mean, does it not get good love? I feel like it's the top performing headphones you see on any best page list, on any buying guide. They're always there, so.
Yes, but I think, if I'm going to lend any credence to this hot take, I think it's because of the naming conventions. It's easy to say AirPods. It's easy to say Quiet Comfort. It's not easy to say Sony WF-1000XM3, or whatever Sony's going to call it, or BM now with Bass Boost. And Sony's naming convention make it hard to stick in the mind. So it's like, do you have those new Sonys? What new Sonys? There's new Sonys? Are there?
Yeah, no, it's pretty brutal. I mean, Sony has the same issue that Asus has, because I'm going to laptop side now, but Asus's naming conventions are awful. It's like this, can't even think of their laptop names now.
ZenBooks.
But ZenBook is easier. But
ZenBook, ROG, Tough Gaming. I don't think they have a problem. I don't think Asus has a naming problem.
It's like, yeah, but it's like Asus ZenBook 13 UFXT1000.
All right. Fair. Fair, but I guess since we don't include those.
We do, though. We include those in our reviews.
But they're in paren, so I kind of just, they're invisible until they don't need until I need them.
It's like, which ZenBook 13? The UF2000 or the UX 5 million? It's like, come on.
Oh, but how will you differentiate all those different ZenBooks without the confusing?
Don't call them ZenBooks. Call them something else, please.
No. But back to Sony. Sony has some of the best sounding consumer level headphones in the game, and they just don't get that love that they should get. They are constantly being overshadowed by Bose and by Apple, because when I write for TG, no one's we'll write about Sony, but no one's like, oh my God, did you know that Sony's coming out with a new pair of headphones? We have whole pages dedicated to AirPod Pro rumors and AirPod X rumors. And do we have a Sony rumors page? No. Why? No one wants to read it.
I mean, sounds like Laptop Mag should do it, since, you know, you're so gung-ho about it.
I mean, we could, but I don't know. I don't even know if the search juice is there for that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sony.
I mean, because Bose, is a recognizable, headphone name. Sony is just Sony. They have so many other properties that if you can't just Google Sony and find something, like that's has to do with headphones immediately. So
what we're saying here is the sound is great. The pricing is typically great. It's just the naming conventions. They need to do more to stand out with the naming conventions. I don't know what you're going to do, Sony. I hope you do something about it. Let's see here. Windows 10 is actually pretty good. Is it now?
I mean, I feel like every other day we're literally covering why Windows 10 is breaking again.
Oh, Lord. So apparently there in today's news, there is a... it's supposed to be Patch Tuesday, and before Patch Tuesday even went out, there was a leak of a bug that had been unpatched. So it's not going to affect many people, but the fact that they let this patch out knowing that there was a bug and they've had no comments since is just like, why, Microsoft? Why don't you want to win? It like, I feel that... Because they know that we, like, PC users have no other choice. Like, yes, there's Chromebooks, but a lot of people, like, the youngins are messing with Chromebooks. I don't see a lot of my generation and older messing with the Chromebooks. So we're kind of a captive audience. And they're like, you're going to take what we give and you're going to like it. Bugs or no. Like, we'll fix it as we please, and you'll take it. So I'm just ready for them at this point to release Windows 11 or Windows 10X or whatever they're going to call it, so we can move on from this debacle. And I'm hoping that whatever they roll out does not turn into the new Vista.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of issues with Windows, and gamers are pretty much stuck with Windows because they can't go to Apple because they have nothing. So... Yeah, it's honestly ridiculous the way literally every morning I wake up, I see a Windows 10 bug or I see a Windows 10 update, something. They like, oh, we fixed something, but we also broke something. Cool. Epic.
It's like an episode of This Old House, but minus Bob Vila and minus like proficiency. But we're stuck with Microsoft for the foreseeable future unless you're going to jump to Mac or Linux.
I mean,
Linux is for the highly advanced developers, which I am not a member of. So, yeah, I'm stuck with Windows. I'm just going to take these L's and roll with the punches as it is.
Yeah, roll with, you know, your search bar not working one day. I remember that. That was crazy.
Oh, it's an adventure. It's an adventure. Like, fun. So, Apple news. Would it matter if Apple just did the iPhone launch online?
I think every launch should be online. Honestly. I mean, does it matter? I mean, who, like they can just put it on a random stage somewhere, have no one in the audience, and just stream it online. And they still get the same screaming people just across the screen. So, I mean, is it going to be different?
For consumers, no. For tech journals, yes. Like, because there's no telling on when we'll get the product to review. So, I don't know. Like, I like traveling for shows. I like being able to tell readers like what it's like to be there in the heat of the moment and the excitement or lack thereof at an event. I think I would miss it. Like, understandably, this year things are going to change, but I would hope that it would not, this doesn't signal a drastic departure from the shows.
I mean, I agree. It's definitely a disservice to the readers not being able to like see what the phone is. But I feel like most people that are going to buy an iPhone are just going to buy an iPhone no matter what you write in that case. In every other event, it's different. Like, there are products that we see that people will look out for because we wrote about it. In Apple's case, it's different.
Yeah, Apple is Apple, but like without shows, we wouldn't be able to be talking about like things like the Alienware UFO.
Yeah, you're right. And like, that's a big thing.
Like, those concepts are huge, and they set the stage for what we expect for the rest of the year. So I really, really hope that this does not start the trend of just moving away from shows. Like, my fiscal mind says, ooh, look at all the money folks will save. But my heart and my soul says, but what about the travel? And what about seeing people and touching things? I like touching things, all the things. I must touch, 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 touch. Anything else to add, Rami? Anything techie-wise that you would like to talk about before we wrap this up?
I mean, the biggest controversy in, like, PC gaming right now is Horizon Zero Dawn going to PC.
It is a Sony exclusive game, or it was a Sony exclusive game. So that's big. And I mean, who knows? This might signal the future of PS5. What if Sony decides to do a version of Play Anywhere?
I mean, that would be great, honestly. Because right now, what do they have? They have the PS Now, and that's like a streaming service.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, I would love for them. I mean, like, if they really wanted to get into the PC market and still, you know, appease PlayStation fans, like, make their own app on PC, buy their games on, like, on their PS store on PC. It's the same thing. You don't have to put it on Steam, although you should, but
they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Like, there will be yet another I mean, PlayStation already has a store, so it wouldn't make sense for them to even think about giving Steam any play.
Exactly. Well, what I mean is, like, having their own app on PC, like, giving PC players this access to their games, their store, like, they can only benefit from that, really, because you're getting more money for all this, you know, people playing games.
I'm all for the democratization of games. Like, I want to play my game on my phone. I want to play it on my PC. And when I'm at work, I kind of want to play it on my Mac.
Yeah.
I guess. But I think that as we move forward, I don't think that consoles are going away per se, but I do think that we're going to move into modular systems and being able to play on a PC and then go seamlessly back to your console or what have you. I think that the Switch and Xbox Play Anywhere are slowly but surely ushering in a new way, a better way, a cheaper way to play, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting future for gaming, honestly.
All right, and that is a wrap. We have done another episode of Noise Canceling. Rami, where can we find you?
Laptop Mag.
Twitter. You gonna give us the handle?
No. No, it's at Rami Tabari on Twitter, and you'll find me on Laptop Mag. You'll find my articles.
I'm Sherelle Smith. You can find me on Twitter at MissSmith11, M-I-S-S, Smith11. You can also find me on Laptop Mag, along with Phil Tracy and Kimberly Gedeon and Hilda Scott, our small but proud laptop team, and of course, Rami Tabari. And bye, everyone, and we're sorry we disappointed you. Noise Canceling is part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss out on new episodes. And don't forget to head over to techradar.com, laptopmag.com, and tomsguide.com to read more.